Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, 7:30. Welcome back once again, everybody. You know what? Every once in a while, I like to read an article by an author with whom I vociferously disagree just for the fun of it. Okay? Just for the fun of it. So this one author was mentioning how he could never be a Christian. Not ever, not ever. And you know what the deal breaker was for him? The story of Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice at the top of Mount Moriah. Genesis chapter 22, otherwise known as your first reading. And the author said, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with a God who would ask a father to sacrifice his only son. Such a God couldn't exist, and if he did exist, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with him, and if I did have to do anything to do with him, I certainly wouldn't want to have to worship him, and that was just the end of that. I felt like writing to him and asking, hey buddy, are you sure you made it to the end of the story? I think maybe you missed the best part. Are you sure you read all the way to the end? Right, but the story of Abraham and Isaac is an upsetting story. But did you know that it's meant to be upsetting? If you're not disturbed by the story of Abraham and Isaac, you know, you should be. Because it's meant to disturb you. But the most important passages in all the Bible, the ones that have the most to teach us, are also the ones that are the most upsetting. There's so many lessons in this story. Unfortunately, this morning, I only have time to go over just one or two of them, okay? Just one or two of them. So we'll take a closer look at the story of Abraham, who we call our father in faith. Because nobody in all the Bible ever had their faith tested as severely as poor Abraham. Not Job, not Jonah, not Moses, not any of them. First time God ever speaks to Abraham, he says, hey, Abraham, I want you to get up now from the land of your ancestors and all that you've ever known, and travel now to a land that I will show you. Didn't even tell him where he was going. I'll tell you when you get there. Travel to a land that I will show you. And this he asks of Abraham at the age of 75. You know, the exact age in which people don't want to get up and go anyplace. But Abraham believed. He got up and he went. And the only thing Abraham ever wanted in all of his life was a son with his beloved wife, Sarah. And so God said to Abraham, Abraham, I will fulfill for you the child of your longing. With your beloved wife, Sarah, you will give birth to a son. And from you will stream kings and princes, and I will make of you the father of many nations. So Abraham goes home and he says, hey, Sarah, guess what God told me? God said he's going to make of us the father of many nations. And Sarah laughed, right? She said, we too old for that, honey. That just ain't going to happen. And still, Abraham believed. Look through the book of Genesis and count up all the trials of Abraham. You'll find that Abraham is tested 12 times in his faith, but none of them more severe than this. God said to Abraham, take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you. And Abraham was crushed. Because do you know how long Abraham waited for the birth of his son Isaac? After God had promised him that he would be born, 25 years Abraham had waited. And Abraham was crushed, because what was he supposed to think? Did you know that at this time, all of the Canaanite religions all practiced human sacrifice, all of them. The Phoenicians, the Hittites, the Edomites, all of them practiced human sacrifice. What was Abraham supposed to think? Did you know that when you hear the Old Testament read, you're hearing the story of God's ongoing revelation? Now, the only perfect revelation is Jesus Christ. God made man. You're never going to get a more perfect revelation of who God is than when he actually becomes one of us, right? But in the Old Testament, the further along you get, the better you know who God is. Well, gosh, at this point in the Old Testament, there hasn't yet even been a Ten Commandments. Moses hasn't yet made his appearance. There is no such thing yet as a thou shalt not kill. Of course, that's all coming later, right? Rest assure yourself that's coming later. But Abraham didn't know that. So what was Abraham supposed to think? He trusted God even when it didn't make any sense, and even when God asked of him a sacrifice. Now you know how the story ends. Angel says, don't lay your hand on the boy. Don't do the least harm to him. And spotting a ram with his horns trapped in a thicket, Abraham offered the ram in the place of Isaac, right? You know how the story ends. And this is God's way of saying, I'm not like all the other gods in all the world, all those other deities to whom people pledge their heart's loyalty. Not like them at all. Human sacrifice is precisely what I don't want. But here's the question of the hour. If that was God's only point, why didn't he just come out and say it? I mean, why the theatrics? Why the drama? Why didn't he just tell Abraham, hey, I'm not into human sacrifice. You want to know why? A couple of reasons. First of all, our God is a dramatist. He's a storyteller. He's an artist. And you know, unlike any artist, sometimes he likes to make his point with a little bit of flair, which he certainly did here in this reading. But secondly, and more to the point, God needed to test Abraham. He wanted to see what he was made of. He wanted to see what his soul loved the most. And what's important to us from this reading is the same way that God tried Abraham back then is the same way God tests us right now. Two ways. Number one, do you believe even when you don't understand? And number two, do you trust even to the point of sacrifice? Same two ways. Now notice, do you believe even when you don't understand? I didn't say, do you believe even when it doesn't make sense? Because with God, it always makes sense. We might not yet understand it completely, but that is not God's deficiency. That is our limitation. From the perspective of heaven, if not sooner, there will come an hour in which you will praise God for every detail of your life. Just like the Psalms say, you'll say to the Lord, your ways are purest gold. It always makes sense, even though we don't always understand. But here's really the clincher. Do you trust even when the Lord asks of you a sacrifice? Abraham did. And God rewarded him beyond his wildest imagining. I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky or the sands on the shores of all the seas. And he said of Abraham, I will make of you a blessing to other people. Now, every single time, we trust God like Abraham did. What happened to Abraham happens to us. The first thing is that you will be blessed beyond your imaginings. God always blesses first the one who carries the cross. But secondly, and maybe this is even a deeper motivation, God makes of us a blessing to other people. The path to becoming a blessing to your family, to your friends, to those who look up to you, is the path of trusting God through your sacrifices, through your sufferings. That's how we become a blessing to others. And just as an aside, did you know that Isaac shared the same faith as Abraham? The most ancient rabbinic sources say that Isaac was not a child when the sacrifice took place. Yeah, I know the scriptures use the word boy, right? But all the most ancient writings say that that word was used figuratively. That Isaac was either a teenager or a young adult when this happened, and that he was not a passive victim, but a willing cooperator sharing Abraham's same faith. Because consider, when Abraham offered this sacrifice at the top of Mount Moriah, he was 100 years old. Now, Isaac, you know, let's just ballpark say he was 18. The moment he realized what was going on, he easily could have gotten up and run away. But he does not. He makes of himself a willing sacrifice, freely offering himself up to death, a death he freely accepted. Does that sound familiar? Because it gets even better. When you read the story in the entire Old Testament, all the details aren't given in our first reading, you discover that Abraham and Isaac made a journey of 3 days to the top of Mount Moriah, that Isaac climbed the mountain of his own sacrifice, carrying on his back the wood of the sacrifice for which he would be offered. Does that sound familiar? Because it gets even better. When they get to the top of the mountain, Isaac asks Abraham, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" Abraham replies, "God himself will provide the lamb." And what do they offer up here in Genesis? What does it say they offer? A lamb? No. It says they offer a ram. God will provide the lamb of sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But it gets even better, because Mount Moriah was the same place as Mount Calvary, the promontory in Israel in which Mount Moriah is located. This Temple Mount is a stone's throw away from the place where Jesus Christ offered his life on the cross. The sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac in the book of Genesis is a prefigurement of Jesus' sacrifice on Mount Calvary, with the lesson for us that anyone who would worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob needs to share this same faith. Do you believe even when you don't understand? And do you trust the Lord even to the point of sacrifice? Now, it's scary. It's scary when you think of how much of a claim God has on us. Absolutely everything in our life is a pure gift. And we like to think that, you know, it's our life and it's our destiny. None of it's ours. All of it belongs to God. We have zero claim on any of it. It's all a pure gift. You know, one of the priests over at St. John's told me a story. I won't tell you which priest, to protect the identity of the innocent, right? Told me a story of a man who walked up to him and he said, "Hey, Father, I'd like to join your parish. But if I join your parish, one question. Do I have to give up my politics?" And without missing a beat, the priest said, "You sure do. You have to give up your politics and everything else. Because there's nothing in our lives that God does not have claim to." It's kind of a scary thought. Don't we live most of the lives of our faith wanting to keep God at a safe distance, as if to say in the back of our minds, don't get too close to me, Lord. I'm afraid of what you might take next. Maybe that's why Jesus, on every other page of the scriptures, is saying, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, do not be afraid. Because when we make of ourselves a willing sacrifice, the blessings of God are innumerable. Isn't it the case that the real reason why Christianity is controversial is because it asks of us a sacrifice? Think about our most controversial teachings, right? The ones that nobody likes. Contraception, the nature of matrimony as being a man and a woman, faithful, permanent, life-giving, sexual morality and all of its implications, all the things that get us in trouble. What do they all have in common? They all ask of us a sacrifice. They all ask of us a sacrifice. But those who willingly carry that cross become a blessing to others and receive innumerable blessings themselves. It ties in beautifully with the gospel that we just heard. Every year on the second Sunday of Lent, you will hear the gospel of the Transfiguration, where Jesus is gloriously transfigured before Peter and James and John. What I like to call the temporary cessation of a miracle. The real miracle is that Jesus was able to hide his glory for all those years under the appearance of a humble carpenter from Nazareth. That was the real miracle. Here's Jesus showing himself for who he really is. Why does he do it? Why does he climb this mountain to blaze in glory before his apostles? You want to know why? Because in just a few short days' time from this event, Jesus is going to climb another mountain. He's going to climb Mount Calvary, where he's going to be scourged to within an inch of his life, crowned with thorns, lacerated beyond recognition, nailed to a cross, and left to die at the hands of his enemies. And he wants his apostles and his followers and all of us to know that that bloody end is not the end of the story. You know, Isaac does not end up dead and bloody at Abraham's feet. That wasn't the end of the story. And the story of our faith does not end on Good Friday. We all know what's coming next. Press on in faith and become a blessing. Reminds me of, you know, this. I came across this little writing. I found this to be really helpful. And it reminds me of this writing. It's called God Said No. And it goes like this. I asked God to take away my pride, and God said no. It's not for me to take away. It's for you to give up. I asked God to give me happiness, and God said no. He said, I give blessings. Happiness must be your choice. I asked God to grant me patience, and God said no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It is not granted. It's earned. I asked God to spare me suffering, and God said no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow, and God said no. I will prune you to make you fruitful. Growth is your choice. I asked God to teach me to love someone else as much as he loves me, and God said, ah, finally, now you have the idea. Do not ever draw a line through your life and tell God what he can and cannot have. Let's rather pray for the faith of Abraham, that we might become a blessing to those who count on us. It's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.